Well, this evening I'll draw your attention to a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ once told, often known as the parable of the sower. I make a confession, I know that I've preached on this parable before some years ago, but I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to turn to it again. And it seems so appropriate given the message last Sunday evening, when Mr. Harrison preached last Sunday evening. He preached on those opening verses in the epistle of the Hebrews, and his question really was, if God is speaking, are you listening? You remember, God is speaking, are you listening? Now on the one level, the fact that you are here means that you hear, you hear the word of God being declared, you hear the message of the gospel being preached. But the question goes deeper than that. Are you really listening? Are you really listening? Yes, you all hear the word of God, but how do you hear? Or to put it another way, how do you respond to what you hear? To what God is saying to you? Because in this particular parable, and I feel it's such an important parable, Matthew chapter 13, the Lord Jesus highlights the different responses that the word of God may receive from the people who hear it. You see, the people he is speaking of have this in common. They all hear, like you tonight. They all hear, but they do not respond in the same way to what they hear. Indeed, in Jesus' own interpretation of his parable, this is one of those parables that Jesus told where he actually gives us the explanation, the interpretation. In his own interpretation, only a proportion of those who heard showed the necessary evidence of having truly received, truly believed what they had heard. And my question is, are you amongst them tonight? Are you amongst them? God is speaking. Are you listening? Are you really listening? Really listening means that you respond in the way you should respond. Have you done that? Are you going to do that tonight if you haven't done up to now? Now we turn to this parable. It's in Matthew 13. It's also in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. It's a parable with an agricultural theme, like so many of the Lord Jesus' parables. He uses, doesn't he, those themes that people in his day would have been ever so familiar with. And he's here talking about a sower sowing seed. Might not be so familiar for people living in Newport. It would have been familiar for people living in Jesus' day, though. So let me read again the parable to you. Matthew 13, verse 1. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So that's the story. That's the parable. And it's not really hard to visualize the situation that the Lord Jesus is describing, is it? Jesus speaks of a man, a farmer, someone working on the land, and he's sowing seed. He's walking along and he's scattering seed as he walks. And now you've got to take note of this, you see. This is important. That it's the same seed that is falling in different places. That's what our attention is really being drawn to. Not so much the one who sows the seed, but to what happens to that seed once it's been sown. And notice that what happens to it is really a consequence of where it falls, the nature of the ground, the sort of soil that it lands upon. So firstly, he says, you see, the farmer's water lawn, and he sows, goes out to sow, and as he sows, some seed fell along the path. Well, you can imagine that, can't you? He's scattering the seed, and some of it just falls along the path he's water lawn. In Jesus' day, the fields used to have paths going across them. They were paths that the farmers could work from. They were paths that other people could walk along. If you just turn back a chapter into Matthew 12, you'll find that chapter begins with the Lord Jesus and his disciples walking through the grain fields on the Sabbath. So there was a path going through a grain field. That's where Jesus and his disciples were walking. And on that occasion, the grain was ripe. And you might remember Jesus and Jesus' disciples being hungry. They began to pluck ears of corn and to eat it. So on that occasion, in Matthew 12, the field, the harvest was ripe. But of course, such a field would have been earlier in the year, just bare earth. And the farmer would have walked that same path that later Jesus and his disciples walked. Not picking ears of corn, but scattering the seed with a view to producing a crop of corn later in the year. And as he walked along scattering the seed, some of it would have fallen along the path. Now the soil along the path would have been hard. It would have been compacted through the weight of the workers and the walkers who had used that path. It was hard ground. It wasn't receptive ground. And so the seeds that fell there, you can imagine it, can't you? They didn't penetrate the soil. But instead they sort of lay there, and we're told what happened then. The birds came and they devoured those seeds. Those seeds, it seems, they had hardly hit the ground when they were snatched up by the hungry, hovering birds. They devoured them. It's very strong language, isn't it? They devoured them. I'm sure we can picture that. We see even today, don't we? We see farmers not walking along paths sowing seed, but they do it all by tractor these days, don't we? You see them pulling their machinery along, and so often you look, don't you, and there's a flock of birds behind, isn't there? There's a flock of birds waiting to devour the seed as it hits the ground. Well, the hard, compacted ground of the path in the parable that Jesus told, it provided, if you like, the perfect conditions, the ideal opportunity for a feast for the watching, waiting, hovering birds. But not all the seed fell along the path. Other seed, said Jesus, fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. So this is a different sort of ground. This is a different sort of soil. I'm sure, again, we can picture this. I know we've got people here who enjoy their gardens, who like gardening. And I'm sure many of us have had the experience of digging over the garden before now. And one moment you put your spade in and it's all good, and you turn the soil over and you put it in the ground with the same energy next time, and you hit something hard. You know you've hit it hard. You feel it in your arms. You've hit rock. You've hit rock. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. That there's some areas of the farmer's field where the rock lies close to the surface. There's a covering of soil. But that's all. It's not the sort of ground that's going to produce grain. Initially all looks well. We'll see that later on. A crop is anticipated. Other seed fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. Immediately they sprang up, so things looked good to start with. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. You see, at the end of the day, this ground didn't actually allow the seed to yield a harvest any more than the path had done. Unlike on the path, yes, the plants did spring up initially. They sprang up, but they couldn't put roots down. And hence they couldn't take up the necessary moisture that's so vital to plant life. And that became evident when the sun rose. The heat of the sun beat down, and these plants were scorched. Now, I'm sure we don't visualize that, a scorched, withered look to a plant. Perhaps we've left our plants now before without water. We've left them too long, and ever shrivels up. They're limp, they're lifeless, and that's the appearance of the crop in a few days once the sun has risen, says Jesus. So you've got the path, hard, compacted, birds take the seed. You've got the rocky ground, just a shallow covering of soil. Seems good to start with, but soon it's evident that there's no depth of soil there. But then Jesus describes a third area of the field, a third type of ground or soil. Other seeds fell among thorns. So what you've got here is part of the farmer's field that was already infested with weeds, or more likely the seeds of weeds. Because the impression we're given here is that the wheat and the thorns, they come up together. He says, the thorns grew up. So we can imagine the ground looked ideal for sowing. We can't imagine a farmer sowing seed into ground already infested with weeds. It was probably clear ground, but actually that ground already had the seeds, the roots, the runners of thorns and other weeds below the surface. And again, I'm sure we've experienced this in our garden. We sow what we want into an area of soil, and yet once everything starts growing, we find there's more than we expected. There's those plants, those weeds that we didn't want, but they were already there. The roots were there, the runners were there, the seeds were there, and they come up together. A battle commences here in Jesus' parable between the farmer's seed and the unwanted weeds, but the weeds win on this occasion. That they grow up and they choke the life out of the sprouting seeds eventually. They win the competition for light, for moisture, for nutrients. And this area of ground yields no grain. It ends up a thicket of thorns. So that's what we have, these three different sorts of soil, these three different types of ground. But they have all this in common. None of them provided suitable growing conditions for the same seed that was being sown across each. None provided the conditions for that seed to flourish and to yield a harvest. The hard path, the rocky ground, the weed-infested soil. None of them brought forth the fruit of a harvest. But it's not all negative, far from it. Then, says Jesus, there was the good soil. And the Lord concludes his parable by saying, other seeds fell on good soil and did produce grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And what we see here, my friends, is the potential that there is in that seed, that the harvest that does come about when that seed falls on good soil. Yes, it germinates. Yes, it grows. Yes, it flourishes. Yes, it brings forth fruit. In this instance, grain. Oh, the yield may vary in different parts of the field, from 30-fold right up to 100-fold. But a yield there is, a harvest there is, fruit comes forth where there is good soil to receive that seed. So that's how the Lord, you see, ends his story of the sower and his seed. Well, that's almost how he ends it, isn't it? But in fact, he has something more to say. As you get to verse 9 of Matthew 13, and you notice that little phrase that ends that little section. Jesus gives this parable, he narrates his story, and then he says, he who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. Now what does he mean by that? Seems a sort of strange thing to say, you might think. Well, what he means by that is this, my friends. He's saying that this story that I'm telling you, it's more than just a story. I'm not just a storyteller here to pass the time of day, says Jesus. There's a significance, you see. There's a spiritual significance to this story. There's an interpretation that's not to be ignored, but to be carefully considered. This is a parable. A parable is an everyday story about everyday folk, full of everyday things, everyday themes. But there's a hugely important point being made through it. There's a meaning that you are to mine from it. It is, as we often say, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that is what you should be listening out for. That is what you should be listening out for. If you go away having heard the story, but not understood the significance of it, then you've missed the whole point. Hence Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. In fact, in Luke's account, it says, Jesus called out, he cried out, he who has ears, let him hear. There's an urgency about this. Jesus wants everyone to know this. Let him really hear. Let him carefully consider the most important message of this story that I've told you. Well, as I said earlier, in the case of this parable, we do actually have the Lord's own interpretation of the story. So we're left in no doubt as to what he meant by what he said. We read it in Matthew 13, verses 18 to 23. Let me just read that again to you. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. And he indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So Jesus gives us a very clear interpretation, explanation of his parable. The seed, he says, symbolizes the word of the kingdom. In Luke it says the seed is the word of God. Mark says the sower sows the word. What we have here essentially is the word of God, the good news of God's kingdom being preached, being declared. God's kingdom, that kingdom that sinners like us can become citizens of, can become sons of, by the grace of God. That grace that God has displayed in sending his Son from his kingdom into this world to die on the cross to save us. This is a message of the gospel being preached. The message of the kingdom of God. That message is being cast in this place, and that, as the sower in the parable scatters his seed. Now, when we think of this seed being sown, we might think of the Lord Jesus himself preaching. You actually read his first words of really public ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached the message of the kingdom. But so, since his time, have his followers, beginning with the apostles, coming right up to the present day, to the preachers in this pulpit. Sowing the seed of the word of God, the message of the gospel, week by week, sowing that seed. Yet it's not the sower, as I said, that the parable focuses on, but rather the response, or should I say the responses, to that which has been sown. It's not the preacher, if you like, who's under the spotlight here. It's not me. Jesus assumes that the word is being preached faithfully, as we trust it is from this pulpit. In a sense, it's not me that's under the spotlight in this parable. No, it's the hearers of the word of God. It's you. The spotlight's on you. And the way in which people respond to what they hear, that is what is being put under examination. It's the same seed that's being sown, that the word of the kingdom, But just as in the parable the seed landed on different soil types and that determined whether or not it produced grain, so when God's word is preached it meets with different conditions in different people's hearts. And it's the state of your hearts and it's how receptive your hearts are that affect the outcome. You're under the spotlight here tonight, my friends. And so just consider the different scenarios portrayed in the Lord's parable, later explained by him. Firstly, what about the seed that fell along the path? Let's run through them again. Well, what Jesus says, verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. So this is the first type of person, the first category of hearer. I suppose they do hear the message, but their response is no response. They don't understand what they hear. I think we can safely say they don't attempt to understand what they hear. Their hearts, you see, are like that hard, compacted soil along the path. They won't allow the word to penetrate. They won't allow the word to do its work. Now, we might be thinking of people out there. I'm sure we can think of people out there when we go and do our open airs. We preach the word, don't we? And people just pass on by. They hear and yet they don't hear. There's no response. Yet I'm more interested in people in here tonight. Because, you know, you've got your reason for coming to a church service. But is it to hear? Is it to receive the word of God? There's a whole host of reasons why people go to church, isn't there? Some go out of habit. I've done so since I was a child. I was brought up to go to church. I've heard that before. Some attend with another member of family. They're a Christian. They want to come to church. Well, I'll come with you. They make some effort to attend a meeting, but no effort to understand the message that's preached at the meeting. They sit through a sermon, but they don't think through a sermon. They don't think through the message of the kingdom and how relevant it is to them. This is this person. Their hearts are like the path. And you see, with such an attitude of heart, they make the easiest work for Satan. Because he, like the birds in the parable, has been sort of watching and waiting. And now he swoops down and snatches away what's being sown. And so this sort of person, they go home. They've heard the word, yes, but they go home as though they hadn't. I press on describing you tonight. Press your heart is like that hard path. You won't let the word penetrate, and so the word is quickly picked off by the devil. Oh, you come, but you don't really listen. God is speaking. Are you listening? Well, not really. You have your reason for being here, but it's not really to understand, to comprehend, to receive the word of God. Let me ask you. Do you know why the devil is so keen to snatch that word? Do you know why the devil is so keen for you to stay as you are? Did you know why he would rapidly remove even any trace of the word that you hear? Well, let me read just what Luke says in his gospel on this parable. Luke says this. It's very powerful, actually. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? The devil doesn't want to lose you. The devil doesn't want to give you up. The words of life and light and liberty, he doesn't want them to linger for any moment longer than they have to in your heart, unless you actually do start thinking about all this and believe and be saved. He doesn't want you prized from his grasp. He doesn't want you rescued from his domain of darkness and death. He doesn't want you transferred to God's glorious kingdom. He's the enemy of God. And the last thing he wants is you to become gods and thereafter bring forth fruit to the glory of God. He's not got your interests at heart, not in the slightest. He's more than happy for you to stay as you are in his domain on the road to destruction. He's more than happy to work with you in your hard heart. But though he's happy, you, my friend, you're going to be miserable forever if you carry on like this. You're going to be utterly miserable forever. You know, you need to hear me tonight. You need to listen to me tonight. You need to ask God to make your heart receptive. You need God to deal with your careless attitude, which is really a conceited attitude. You're proud, you're thinking this message, you don't need to hear it, it's got nothing to do with you. I don't even need to think about it. You're careless, you're conceited. My friend, you need God to plow through your pride and your prejudice and make your heart receptive. And then there's the seed sown on the rocky ground. And this is the one who hears the word and receives it with joy immediately. But he's no root in himself. He endures for a while. When tribulation or persecution arise on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Now these people are different, you see. They do listen to the word. And for a while, you see, the good news appears to them to be just that. Good news, great news. They don't immediately reject it like those we've just been speaking of. Those whose hearts are like the hard path. Far from it. These people receive it with joy. Their emotions are stirred. Perhaps their tears of joy. They appear to flourish. But it's for such a short time. Something very tragic about these people. The growth is superficial. It's on the surface only. They give a response, but they have no root. The necessary root of true repentance and true faith in Christ is not there. They are not rooted and grounded in his love. And so what happens? Well, when trouble comes, tribulation, persecution, or it comes on account of the word, in other words, because of what they profess to believe, they fall away so rapidly. Such tribulations to them are like the scorching sun beating down on that plant that's grown on the rocky ground, and they wither so quickly and they die in its heat. I mean, that persecution might not be physical suffering, as we tend to think of persecution. Of course, it might be. But it might be social exclusion. The people you used to mix with, they hear you're a Christian, now you go to church, they don't want to know you anymore. You've become unpopular with them, you've gone all religious. You're a follower of Jesus, you're born again, all this stuff. And it gets too much. You see these people, they want the benefits of being a Christian, but they haven't counted the cost of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus did say, Jesus is ever so honest, isn't he? He did say, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He said to his followers, in this world you will have tribulation. No one can ever accuse Jesus of saying, oh, you become a Christian, everything's going to be hunky-dory, easy, health and wealth. He never said that. He said, you will have tribulation. It'll be hard. But he also said, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, to the true believer, the tribulation, the persecution that they face on account of Christ, not pleasant at the time, yet it's to be viewed by faith in terms of what they know of God, of what he's already done for them, of his promises in the scriptures, of his always working for their good, of the glorious future that awaits them. And so when the time of testing comes, that the root is in place. And by God's grace, the true believer doesn't fall away. Oh, they may struggle, but they are rooted and grounded in the love of God. The root of true repentance and faith is there. And they are kept safe until the day when they are taken to be with God, in that place where there is no tribulation or persecution, only perfect peace and perfect bliss. Jesus actually said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe him? Yes, it's through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. It's not an easy life. We never preach that from this pulpit. But it's a blessed life. It's the only truly happy life. And the future that awaits the person who receives the word of God as they should receive it is truly glorious. Do you realise that any affliction, any tribulation, they're slight, they're momentary, they're passing compared to the eternal weight of glory that is stored up in heaven for each true believer? Friend, there's no such thing as a fair weather Christian. Just beware of everything being above ground. There's a response, yes, but no root, no true fruit. You enjoy hearing the word, you enjoy listening to sermons, maybe you receive these things with joy. And yet it's possible not to be saved. A time of testing would come and you would fall away altogether, like that withering plant. So the first instance, there's a lack of penetration. The ground is hard. The second illustration, the onset of persecution, proves that there's no real root here. These people are not grounded in the love of Christ. But thirdly, we have the seed that fell among the thorns. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And again, there is a response in this instance. The seed isn't immediately snatched, as was in the case of the path. This person hears, perhaps approves of what they hear. They like being a thought of being a Christian. But tragically, they won't put these things first. They won't seek first the kingdom of God. They won't relegate the things of this world to the position they should have. Instead, the things of this world occupy their affections. They won't sever their ties with the world. They want to keep a foot in both camps. They never, therefore, give the seed the opportunity to truly grow and yield grain. The love of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, materialism, possessions. These things are never really cleared from this person's heart. And they also grow and eventually outgrow that which was sown. The world and not the word becomes a dominant sin, the controlling influence in this person's heart. They have more of a pull on this person's life, more of an effect on this person's thinking, until the point when totally taken in by the world, these thorns choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. And this can happen so subtly, can't it? I'm sure we're aware of how weeds can just creep in a garden. It can happen so subtly, quietly, gradually. And before you know it, there's no crop at all. Just a thicket of thorns. Remember, we read in the Word of God in Matthew 19 of a rich young man who came to Jesus inquiring, but who left empty-handed. For this reason, his many possessions meant more to him than Christ. Well, what about you? The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. Friend, if you fall into this category, if these things mean more to you than Christ, beware. Beware of them choking the word that's been sown in your heart. You too need to call upon God this evening to ask you to deliver you from your desire for these things, to get your priorities right, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Ask God to deliver you from these desires, from these delusions. Well, we see here these different scenarios. There are different ways of hearing the word of God without there being any lasting benefit to a person's soul. If you can hear the word of God, you can hear it regularly, be warned, there may be no lasting benefit to your soul. The word may be snatched. The word may be scorched. The word may be choked. Of course, people do need to hear the word to be saved. They do need to hear it, but they need more than that. They need hearts that are receptive to what they hear. And some hearts are receptive. Thank God. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Here is a person. The fourth and final scenario. And they hear the word and they accept it. They understand it. This person, is this you here tonight? They say, this is the word of God. This is the word for me. This is the word that meets me where I am. This is the word I need to hear. Here I am, a sinner. Here I am in need of a Saviour. And here is God providing for me what I need. This person hears the word. To them it is the word of God, the word of life. And they accept it. And that acceptance is shown in the fruit. The fruit of repentance, the fruit of faith, the fruit of the Spirit, all to the glory of God. The quantity may vary from one person to another, but what's important here is that there is fruit, lasting fruit. The indication that there is spiritual life in Christ. See, I'm glad you're here tonight. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad those of you who come regularly, I'm glad you come regularly. I'm glad you're present, week by week, as the word of God is sown from this pulpit. That you're here to hear. But the question is really, what is your response to what you hear? Now, it's ever so important you understand. It's not enough that you're here. It's not enough that you hear. What is your response to what you hear? God is speaking. Are you listening? Really listening? Truly listening? With a heart that is receptive? Or is your heart hard like that path? You're careless, you're conceited, and week by week the word is snatched. Or haven't you got the true root of repentance and faith, and so the word is scorched like that seed that fell on the stony soil? Or are you still too in love with the things of this world, so the word is being choked? Or have you? Maybe tonight will you, for the first time, receive this word. Give it the response that it rightfully deserves. Receive it with joy. This is the word for you. This is the word for sinners. This is the word of God, the word of a Saviour. The word of the kingdom of light and life and liberty. Receive it with joy. And produce fruit for the glory of God. Beware of anything that falls short of that. This parable is very honest, isn't it? The Lord Jesus was always very honest. Very honest. It doesn't say that it's just enough to turn up. It's very sobering as well, isn't it? Because we should be searching our hearts now, saying, do I fall into, which category do I fall into? It's possible, you see, to hear, and yet there be no lasting fruit, to not be saved. And yet it's also very wonderful, isn't it? It's very wonderful, because we see the potential that there is in the seed, in the word, when it lands on hearts that are truly receptive like that good soil. And there are lives that thereafter will be lived to the glory of God. My friends, what is your heart like Which part of the farmer's field do you fall into? God is speaking. God is speaking. It's a message you need to hear. But are you listening? Really listening? By which I mean receiving this word with joy, in repentance, and in faith. May God grant you tonight such a heart that will receive his word. Amen.